You may be seated. On behalf of the family, thank you for being here this morning as we celebrate the life of Ronald Dean Goddard. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for the life of Ron and the many people that he touched over the years. Lord, we just ask again for comfort for the family during this time as they mourn the loss of their loved one, Lord, that you will just give them strength and peace and comfort, Lord. We just thank you in your name. Amen. Ronald Dean Goddard, 74, died Thursday, June 11th at his home in Jamestown, Kansas, following a brief illness. He was born September 17th, 1940, at Delphus, Kansas, to Wilfred Wayne and Elva Maxine Alderson Goddard. He was preceded in death by his parents, brother Donald Goddard, stepfather Art Koppel, and granddaughter Sarah Goddard. Ron is survived by his wife Alice, children Selena and Brian Kendall, Larry and Celeste, Mike Lyons, all of Minneapolis, Johnny Karen of Ellsworth, Derek and Carrie of Bonner Springs, Justin and Christy of Andover, and Molly of Jamestown. 18 grandchildren and 4 great-grandchildren. Sister Sharon Willard and Willard Ames, brothers Roger and Vicki Koppel, John and Chris Koppel, and Gary and Ruth Koppel. Ronald Ronnie Dean Goddard was born on September 17, 1940, to Wilfred Wayne and Elva Maxine Alderson Goddard. He had an older sister, Sharon, and then a little brother, Donnie Wayne. When his parents divorced at a young age, his mother remarried to Arthur Koppel, who took him in and raised him as his own. He then had 3 more brothers, Roger, John, and Gary. He went to Delphus High School, where he excelled in sports. He was a 3-sport letterman. His real love was football and track. He only played basketball to get in shape for track, where he dominated the hurdles. He could have went to state, but chose to go to his prom instead. Ron was a jack of all trades, you could say. He worked several interesting jobs, which included construction worker, truck driver, police officer, plumber, which he hated, house painter, pilot, feedlot worker, and finally retired as a drug and alcohol counselor. As a counselor, he touched hundreds of lives and was always there to help if someone asked, and sometimes when they didn't. Ron was larger than life. He walked his own path. You could either accept it or to hell with you. Ron would not sugarcoat anything. He would tell it how it was, whether you wanted to hear it or not, but his opinion meant a lot to many people. He never backed down from a fight, no matter how big or tough they thought they were. On the other hand, Ron could have a conversation with anyone and knew how to talk to people in any situation. He loved people and never knew a stranger. He loved to rodeo. He was a steer wrestler and a roper. He knew how to work a rope better than most, and he passed that talent down to his boys, nephews, and anyone else who wanted to learn. His talent with horses was second to none. There was something about watching him training young horses that was magic. He never came across a horse that was more hard-headed than he. And from one of the stories, he got kicked in the head to prove it and kept going. Some say he was ornery. Who are we kidding? We all know how ornery he was. He was all about having a good time. He would tell stories about the shenanigans he and Rich Keim would get into. They were always causing trouble. They had a friendship like no other, and it lasted their whole lives. To sum up Ron's life in a few paragraphs could do him no justice. If you had to say a few words that described him, it would be tough, honest, loyal, a protector, caring, and definitely one of a kind.
When I get where I'm going, on the far side of the sky, the first thing that I'm gonna do is spread my wings and fly. I'm gonna land beside a lion and run my fingers through his mane. where I might find out what it's like to ride a drop of rain. Yeah, when I get where I'm going, there'll be only happy tears. I will shed the sins and struggles I have carried all these years, and I'll leave my heart wide open. I will love and have no fear. Yeah, when I get where I'm going, don't cry for me down. Gonna walk with my granddaddy, and he'll match me step for step. And I'll tell him how I've missed him every minute since he left. And then I'll hug his neck. Yeah, when I get where I'm going, there'll be only happy tears. Shed the sins and struggles I have carried all these years, and I'll leave my heart wide open. I will love and have no fear. Yeah, when I get where I'm going, don't cry for me down here. So much pain and so much darkness, this world we stumble through, all these questions I can't answer, so much work to do. But when I get where I'm going, and I see my Maker's face, I'll stand forever in the light of His amazing grace.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is one of the most recognized psalms in the Bible, and like Ron, it speaks straight truth and can be both scary and comforting. Ron never seemed to be in want. Although he admit he wasn't a rich man as far as material things went, he had a lot when it came to friends and family, as shown by the crowd gathered here this morning. First time I met Ron, it was shortly after Justin and I had met, which was probably one of the weirdest meetings ever. Justin and I are both, well, he's younger than I am, but we're kind of young guys. We met in the hospital. Many of you know Justin had went through cancer and had beat it. And the result of it, some of his joints decided to not work properly. And some of them still don't work properly. Oh, wait, right? He was getting a hip replaced. I was getting a knee replaced. We ended up in the same room together in Wichita, of all places. And the nurse come in, and she couldn't believe it. Here's two young guys that should not be having these type of surgeries. And then to come to find out, we were both from Concordia. That was pretty weird. But a friendship developed. Pretty soon we both healed. Pretty soon we started working together. And then the craziness started. And I met Ron. First thing he said to my boys, "Are you girls?" And I guess that was how he was. And I was like, "I'm gonna like this guy." And he was always a character. Every time I'd talk with him, and every time Justin would call and say, "Guess what Dad did this time?" I'm going, "What?" He goes, "Just ran through the railroad track, took out the arm, and almost got hit by a train, and has no clue that it happened." "Is he okay?" "Oh yeah, he's fine." The cop was freaking out because it took him forever to catch up to him, but that was Ron. I mean, just straightforward. You know, as I was preparing for this, it was an honor for me to be able to share with the family, to hear the stories, to get to know them even more so. But as I was reading this, I just broke it down, going, this really talked about Ron a lot. Ron loved green pastures for many various reasons, whether it was to break in a new colt, take his boys hunting, or in some cases, I'm told, to fight in. Ron liked to fish, and the quiet waters would make a great day of it. You know, he passed this tradition on down to the kids. I mean, that's one of the things Justin and I have done several times is hunted, and I think we've attempted to fish once. I don't remember. There was probably too much other things going on, knowing us. And I, matter of fact, I think I remember one of the times we went to go fishing, we decided to watch UFC fights, and Ron was there, and he slept through the whole thing. You slept through half. Right, Richard? Didn't he fall asleep half the time when we were watching fights? I tell you, these guys. Ron wouldn't say he was a religious man, and that at times he would be more on a path of his own making, but he did believe in God and enjoyed the times he did attend church. He was glad to see Justin, Chrissy, and the kids going to church. Ron didn't fear anything except snakes. But then again, who blames him for that? He never backed down from a fight, and I'm told he often would go in search of one just for something to do. He didn't fear death, and in the end wanted to be home to face it, and he got his wish. Ron, early on, because of his love of fighting, made what some would call enemies. But as time went on, a sense of respect was earned, and the family shared how they couldn't go anywhere without him running into someone he knew, usually someone he had beat up in the past. Yet, they would talk like old friends, and no hard feelings would be held. That's how he was. He was straight shooting, wasn't afraid to tell you how it was, and you couldn't help but just love the guy. Ron's cup did overflow with compassion and the need to help people, as he demonstrated all the years as a drug and alcohol counselor. Alice was telling me that he had many jobs, and it wasn't because, you know, he didn't like them. It's because he'd get bored. He'd master them and be like, "Eh, time to move on." I don't know too many people like that. Now, more like, "I'm bored because I hate it and I'm out of here," not "I love it and I can't do any better." And Ron finally settled in as a drug and alcohol counselor. And from what I've told, has helped hundreds and saved probably countless numbers of lives. Some of you here today may be the result of Ron's work. This shows what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 25, 30 through 40. He says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" The king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." Ron was caring and compassionate and loved his job. He loved to help others. He would drop anything and go help. Ron was a tough man on his kids, they'd tell you. Alice would say at times he was embarrassing, but they would all say that there was no one else like him. and he did the best he could by them, and they are thankful for the time they had with him. He was one of a kind, and you don't make them like him anymore. Ron wouldn't want any tears shed for him. Matter of fact, he'd probably say something like, "Are you going to cry, wuss?" So be thankful that you knew him and be there today for the family and going forth. Laugh with them, share with them, and show them the love that you have. Because Ron loved family. Ron loved laughing and poking fun and fighting. Let's not fight today, okay? Unless we're fighting the heat. And that's it. We're going to have some family come up and share stories. I'm going to share Justin's for him. But let me pray real quick. Dear Lord, I just again ask for strength for the family. Lord, just bless this time now as we reflect on some of the great memories that we have of Ron. Lord, just give those who want to speak the strength to say so. And Lord, we know we could go for hours and hours because he has been a huge part of life. We just thank you for him. In your name, amen. A note from Justin. "Dad, this is the toughest letter I will ever write. There are so many things I would love to talk about, but I will narrow it down to a few stories. He gave me my first drink of beer when I was in the first grade." Mom just learned of this the other day. I was there. It was funny. "When I got sick and you were cleaning me up, you said if I never told Mom about it, you would buy me a pop whenever I wanted." Now I know where he got his addiction from. "You kept your word, as I did until today. Remember the gambling lesson you gave me about the same time? You would deal me four kings so I would bet money I didn't have. Then you would deal yourself four aces. When I couldn't pay my debt, you took me out and hung me in the barn by my feet, saying, 'That's what happens when you can't pay up.' Today, I never bet money I don't have. There are several great memories we shared, Dad, but the best ones are when we broke horses together. When I would get on a new colt for the first time, I was never scared because I knew you had a hold of their head, and you always said you would never let go. You never did. I never got bucked off as long as you had a hold of them. We rode hundreds of miles down the dirt roads on horseback together, and all the while you taught me life lessons. We talked about everything a father and son could talk about. One time in particular, I remember when we were walking along and a bee stung my horse. The horse bucked one time, sending me flying over her head, landing on my butt in the middle of the road. Instead of asking if I was okay, you started laughing and said, 'Your horse is loose, Justin.' You raised me hard, but good, Dad. For that, I thank you, because it shaped me into the man I am today. I'm saying goodbye to my best friend today. Goodbye, Dad. I love you." Now, at this time, we'll open it up if any family wants to share or any friends. I know McKenna has one to share.
"My grandpa was a great man. I'm going to share some memories I had with my grandpa. So here we go. I remember that when I was little and we lived in Concordia, we would always get watermelon and grandma would cut the ends off and give it to grandpa. I would always steal a couple bites and he would go, 'Hey, did somebody steal my bite of my watermelon?' After I stole a bite, I would hide under the table and start laughing. Another great memory with grandpa is when he babysat me when I was little. He would make me tomato soup and he taught me to call it poop soup. So one day, my grandma come home from work, and we were saying it and laughing a ton. She had no idea what it meant, and ever since, for some odd reason, I still call it poop soup. Another great memory I have is at supper, I would stick my tongue out at grandpa, and he would say, 'Grandma, Kenna stuck her tongue out at me.' Then grandma would look at me and say, 'She wouldn't do that.' Then we would go back to eating, and he would stick his tongue out at me, and I'd say, 'Grandma, Grandpa stuck his tongue out at me.' She would go, 'Grandpa, don't be sticking your tongue out at her.' And we would do that on and on. Those are some of my most favorite memories. There are a lot more, but it would take way too long to tell all of them to you. They're all so fun. To be honest, I don't think I have a bad memory of him. He's a great man. There will be a lot of people who miss him. Let him rest in peace. I love you, Grandpa. I will never stop till we meet again.
We have a PowerPoint presentation to...
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride, with sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade. The bastards hung me in the spring of 25, but I am still alive.
I was a sailor, I was born upon the tide. With the sea I did abide. I sailed a schooner around the Horn of Mexico. I went aloft to furl the mainsail in a blow. And when the yards broke off, they said that I got killed. But I'm living still. I was a dam builder across a river deep and wide, where steel and water did collide. A place called Boulder on the Wild Colorado. I slipped and fell into the wet concrete below. They buried me in that gray tomb that knows no sound. But I'm still around. I'll always be around and around and around and around. I fly a starship across the universe divide, and when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may become a highwayman again, or I may simply be a single drop of rain. But I will remain, I'll be back again and again and again and again and again and again.
Ron's favorite prayer was the Serenity Prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life, and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen. The family would like to extend the invitation to the luncheon following the burial. You'll see in your program the burial is up at Norway Cemetery, so immediately following this, the procession will gather and head up that way. And then immediately afterwards will be the luncheon back here in the basement. So they would enjoy your time of fellowship. So let me pray and we'll dismiss the family. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I again just ask for comfort and peace upon the family. Lord, just give them the strength that they need. Lord, we just thank you for the life of Ron and all that it has meant to those here today. We just thank you in your name. Amen.